Morning.
Oh, that's hot. Is it too loud? Well, I told you that this year I want to do some messages on walking by faith. We're going to look at prayer, what the Bible says it is and is not. Today we're going to talk about living by faith when storms come. I'll just be honest with you. I don't consider my faith blind faith because I have the Word. And God has brought me through a lot of experience. And I trust it. And I still do. But sometimes faith doesn't sense. We get into situations and we know without faith it's impossible to please God. The righteous shall live because of his faith. We know those verses. It's like that, yeah, God, sometimes it doesn't make sense. And we're going to talk about a time like that this morning. The text I'm using is Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. I preach out of the English Standard Version. We have it on the wall, so everybody will use the same translation. It says, on that day when evening had come, said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm rose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Still, and the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey? Father, I thank you for your word which is truth, and I thank you for the spiritual truth that your word will always accomplish that. I ask, anoint me that I may in the power of the Spirit, Lord. Encourage us from this message. Give us hope, Lord, that we can walk by faith. Lord, I just pray that our faith will be strengthened in this church, that there will be a healing. Lord, that revival is going to break out. And I believe your word, and I believe it's going to happen. And I thank you for that. Jesus had been teaching all day on the shore, and he was actually sitting in a boat. Sometimes it said the crowd would get so thick and they would press in on him to touch him. And Jesus finally realized, you know, I can't do this. So he set off in the boat and he spent all day teaching. And at the end of the day, when it got dark, told his disciples, let's go to the other side, and he left the crowd. Well, he was exhausted. Jesus was tired. The one who said, I never sleep or slumber, curled up on a cushion went to sleep. When God became a man, he became a man. He was exhausted, and he laid down to go to sleep. And the scriptures say a great wind came across the sea. That wasn't uncommon. It still happened. The Sea of Galilee sits in a basin, and they say them desert winds will come off, especially out of the south, and boy, they just roll down the one side of the mountain across the top of that lake, and then they hit that other range, and sometimes they just going like this. A lot of men died on the Sea of Galilee, a lot of fishermen. Now, there were four fishermen in this boat. Andrew and Peter were fishermen. James and John were fishermen. The rest of them, I'm not sure what they did. Matthew was a tax collector. And there's four experienced sailors, and they realize, you know, just a little while, we're in trouble. As I said, many men drowned fishing that lake. In fact, A lot of the fishermen in that day believed that when a man drowned in the lake, his spirit was trapped in the lake. They thought it was also the opening of the abyss. And when the storms would come, some of them thought spirits were stirring the water. We'll talk about that later when Jesus walked on water. That's why they said it's a spirit. They thought it was a spirit of somebody they knew or didn't know. Didn't know if it was a demonic spirit or a good spirit. So they've got this on top of this realization that we're in trouble. Now, I want to talk this morning about walking by faith even during storms. It's easy to live by faith when everything's going your way. Kids are healthy, you got a little money in the bank, you got food in the refrigerator, you're not fighting with your spouse, everything just seems to be going great. It's easy to have faith then. And by that I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, praise the Lord, He's in control and He's blessed me. I ain't got nothing against God blessing people. I just don't like making a doctrine now. Okay? And TV preachers that do that, they want to prosper by you sending money to them so they'll prosper. And you'll prosper, they'll tell you, if you send them your money. Anyway, Jesus gave a command. Let's, for argument's sake, refer to these disciples as His church. Jesus gave His church a command. He said, let's go to the other side. Jesus was so sure they were going to make it that He took that opportunity to take a nap. And then a storm came. Dr. Adam Clark said he believes Satan caused that wind because he thinks Satan thought, man, I got Jesus and all the preachers of the gospel in one boat. And if I can drown them, I can stop them. I'm not saying it was Satan that caused the wind. I have a little trouble with that doctrine that Satan can control the weather. Because, boy, if he could, we'd all be in trouble. Yeah. But for argument's sake, let's say it is Satan. One lesson that you've got to know, church, as individuals and as a group of believers, as a corporation, believers, you have to understand, number one, when Jesus gives a command, he expects it to be obeyed. And his men did. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. They said, yes, sir, boss, that's where we're going. Number two, I want you to realize, any time you set your mind that you're going to do what the Lord wants you to do, there's a storm coming. Satan will do everything within his power to oppose what you're going to do. And you don't, I'm not talking about, well, I'm called to preach. Yeah, you're going to go through a storm. Well, I'm going to live by faith and I'm going to give more than a tithe. Here comes a storm. I think I'll teach Sunday school. Here comes a storm. When young men have come in my office and say, Brother Rick, I really feel called towards ministry. I say, hang on. Because if God's called you, the storm's coming. You're going through the desert. And as I said, those are situations when faith really doesn't make sense. Now, I've heard it out of people. I've said it. Lord, I'm your minister. I'm your servant. I'm preaching the gospel. I've given up everything. He said, no, you haven't. Tell me that one time. No, you haven't. He said, really? Everything. And he named something, a habit in my life. And I said, well, I'm giving you almost everything. And he said, I didn't ask you to give me almost everything. I want all of it or I don't want any of it. So Jesus told his church, he said, let's go over here to the other side. And it's an understandable reaction because four of these guys are fishermen. They've seen and known people that drowned in that lake when the storm was going. And one of them looked back there at Jesus and he was curled up, sawing logs. And he couldn't believe it. Here we are bailing water. Here we are trying to go where he told us to. Now we're in trouble. We do that as Christians. Maybe God didn't call me to do that. That's the first thing Satan likes to accuse us about. Did God really say? Did God really call you into that? Did God really ask you? I'm going to warn you. Fair warning. If you pray, Lord, increase my faith, hang on, the storm's coming. Yeah. Not because God's sadistic and cruel, it's because that's how he refines his children. Yeah, I wish sometimes there was an easier way. But he assures us in the scriptures, don't faint when I rebuke. Don't stop when I chastise. That I chastise every son or daughter that I rebuke. Countless times, not countless, several times I've read in the Old Testament where God compares the trying of our faith to the heating of metal. They would heat metal to a boiling point, and as they let it cool, the guy that was purifying it, he would scrape the dross off the top. And I'll tell you something, God talks about purifying his people for his purpose, and that's what happens. He'll heat you to the boiling point, and all that ugliness will rise up in you. Now, it's up to you what you do with it. Sometimes Christians suck it back down and get back down there. No, I'm not going to deal with this. And God, I just love him best. That he'll just bring you right back around to it. Like you're trying to run from him, you run right back. These boys, they look back and teachers sleep. How could he sleep at a time like this? Don't he know? So one of them decides he needs to tell Jesus that we're not going to make it. He wakes him up and says, Lord, don't you care that we are perishing? How many of you ever asked, don't raise your hand, how many of you ever asked God, don't you care? And you know we're liars still. I've done it. God, don't you care? Why are you letting this happen? And the Lord would say, well, what don't care, he's going to make a better person out of you. I read one time when Mother Teresa said, the Bible says God will not put more on us than we can take. And she said, sometimes I wish he didn't trust me so much. You ever felt that way? God, this situation that I'm going through, I can't take it. I can't do this. And you're right, on your own, you can't do it. A good friend of mine one time, after I got saved, he said, well, I'm glad you're a Christian. I tried that for a while, and I just couldn't live that Christian life. I said, neither can I. But Jesus Christ in me, I live a Christian. I walk with my Lord. And thank God he's a merciful, forgiving Savior. Yeah, because there's a lot of times, hey, Jesus, it's me. I screwed up again. Yeah, I saw. Oh, sorry, Lord, I repent. All right, you're forgiven. They look at Jesus and say, Lord, don't you care that we're going to drown? And Jesus suddenly looks around like, well, I wasn't aware. I just, you know what got me when I finally realized something that Jesus must have been thinking, I didn't say, let's go drown. When we got in the boat, did I tell you, well, hey, let's go drown, guys. Ever tried drowning? That's not what he said. What did he say? Let's go to the other side. Yeah, but Lord, look at the water filling the boat. Let's go to the other side. But Lord, we're going to sink. You can't sink, Jesus. And in that storm, they fell alone. Even though the rabbi was there, they fell alone. And Jesus said, he got up and he rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, peace be still. But he got a great calm. And he turned around and he looked at him. And he said, why are you so afraid? Do you still have a little faith? When I read over that this week, I thought, you know, that's kind of harsh. Because if I was out fishing in Bull Shoals Lake and that boat started filling up with water, I don't think I'd say, well, praise God, I know I'm in trouble. No, I'd be crying out saying, Lord, do something, help me. They had been with Jesus for a while now. They saw him heal people. They heard him preach and speak. They even confessed a couple times, we think you are the Messiah. And Jesus said, where's your faith? How many of you believe that Jesus is Christ, Son of the living God? Amen. I believe it with all my heart. How many of you believe that you can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives you strength? We all believe that, but let's get honest. Sometimes when the trials and the troubles come, our faith kind of dwindles down a little bit. Well, I believe that, but can he overcome this situation? Lord, my kids are lost. They're just meaner than they can be, and I'm praying for them, but I'm not seeing any results. Do you believe that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of repentance? He wants those lost kids saved, worship you. How much time do you invest in that? Now, I'm not going to switch talk about prayer, but think about it. How much praise are your lost folks? One time and quit. You ever gave up a meal, got on your knees, prayed, and wept before God and said, God, you got to do something. I'll tell you something, brother. You got a grandma or a mother praying for you, you might as well give up. They don't. Jesus said, where's your faith? And it said, they said, what kind of guy is he? Even the winds still bend. Now, you would think that at this point, they say, we ain't got a bit of problem knowing who you are. You know, there's a lot of people that they believe in, but they don't follow. That's why Jesus said, those who endure him, say, oh, that's worth salvation, preacher. No, I didn't say it. Why did he say that? Because we will go through a lot of storms. And I'm sorry to say that some people quit following Jesus. I've seen it. I told you about that preacher I used to work with that when his wife left, signed place, pastor of a church, and spend his weekends in the bar. Now, am I judging him? Oh, I know his heart is low. But he turned his back. I don't think Jesus fixed it, so I'm going to go get some. But that's where my security is. Well, I believe Jesus can heal the sick. You ever laid your hands on somebody and prayed for their healing? You ever sense maybe the Spirit saying something like that? You go, no, that's not God. For God, what if I pray for them and they don't get healed? I'll have egg on my face. You ever sense the Holy Spirit telling you to talk to somebody? Huh? You know, it's unscriptural in the church if we say, oh, God, give us a burden for the lost. The Spirit of God's in you, and he has that burden. We're the ones that push it down. I don't want to pray for that guy. He looks funny. He's got earrings hanging out of his eyelids. Nobody like that can get saved. So where's your faith? Well, brother, look right here in the books. We got X amount of dollars, and we better watch out and not try to evangelize or do any kind of ministry that's going to cost us money. Whose money is it? I've never read anywhere in the scriptures where the Lord said, church, I want you to build a big bank account so you'll have money for a rainy day. We're not called to save seed. We're called to sow seed. If every member of this church would tithe at least, our money problems would probably go away. Yeah, we need to be good stewards of God's money, but we should never use that as an excuse not to minister to people that need ministry. Well, Lord, I would go out there and try to start this ministry up, but I'm just short of funds. If God's called you to a ministry, I want to show you something. He'll open the doors. Yeah, He'll open the doors. When I finally surrendered to the call of ministry, I worked part-time at a company. I decided I was going to Bible college, going to the extension class in Springfield. So I'd work during the day and go to class at night. And I said, Lord, this part-time is hard. I don't want to borrow any money. Well, somebody got mad and quit. So I got that job full-time. And for 3 years, I went to Bible college, and I paid for it. I didn't owe a penny. Didn't want to. And this church said, we recognize your call to preach. And they licensed me as a minister in that denomination. Me. I couldn't believe that. If you guys knew my past. It's like when God called Moses. I want you to go get my people. Lord, I can't talk good. God said, well, who made your mouth? I'll tell you what to say. Yeah, but I stutter. I have a speech impediment. And that's wrong for you to ask to do something like that. God said, fine, let your brother in. I'll tell you, and you tell Aaron. God had an answer for everything. Said, finally, God got mad at him. How many excuses did you make? I broke a cardinal rule of preaching. Don't say you, say we. But I was, don't say you, say we. They might think you're talking to them. Well, that's who I'm talking to, is them. You know, I'm including myself in this. I haven't arrived yet. That's why I said at the beginning of this message, sometimes faith doesn't take it. I thought, you know, if I'd have been in that boat and Jesus said, what are you so afraid of? Well, look at the water. We're this close to sinking. Yeah, but I didn't say let's go drown, did I? I said, let's go to the other side. Church? We call it the Great Commission for the church, and it's the only commission. Going to all nations, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do all things that I've commanded. Make disciples. Make disciples. And at the end of that, he said, and look, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. He didn't say, go out into the world to make disciples and they're going to love you and just throw their arms around you and give you a big old sloppy kiss. Say, we're sure glad you came here and told us how wrong we was. Jesus told his church, if the world hates me, it's going to hate you. In his high priestly prayer to God, he said, Father, I've given them your word and the world hates them. We're so busy in the church to try to get the world to love us. We're compromising. We water down the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, don't make reference to blood. That's a slaughterhouse. Don't talk about the cross. But Jesus said make disciples. Does that mean teaching people the truth?
Yep.
Does that mean calling sin sin?
Yes.
Yes, it does. Well, how do I know what sin is? It's right here in the book. And let me tell you something else that's in the book. It's one of my least favorite passages. Anything we do without faith is sin. John wrote that. Anything we do without faith is sin. Man, God's kind of hung up on this faith thing. Isn't he? I mean, you're asking me to trust you when it looks so bad around me and I think I can't endure this. I can't face it. Paul did. In his letter to the Corinthians, he said, There was a messenger from Satan sent to buffet me because I was getting the big head. God had shown him all these revelations. Jesus had appeared and taught him, and Paul said, I was getting the big head. And he said, that thorn in the flesh hit me, and he said, 3 times I begged the Lord, take this away. Paul said, oh, I just can't take this, God. And Jesus said, no. My strength made perfect weakness. He said, Paul, my grace. Yeah, but I don't feel that way. We need to learn to get feelings out of religion. Yeah. How do you know you receive the Holy Spirit? Oh, brother, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And I started shaking all over. Well, why didn't you tell them to turn the furnace up? I just felt pure. I had a lady like, I felt pure. How do you know it wasn't gas? Well, are you saying I don't have the Holy Spirit? I said, no. But who said to go on feeling? Nowhere in the scriptures does God say, when you feel like it, then I'm with you. When you feel like it, then I'm going to bless you. I told him one time, I said, you don't make a very good recruitment post for people. I mean, really, Jesus said, come follow me and some of your family's going to hate you. Men will curse you and cast your name out as evil. Some of you they'll beat. Some of you they'll kill. Oh, sign me up! Jesus didn't say, boys, let's go across the lake and there won't be any trouble. When trouble came, they did the right thing. Something those men learned, and we should learn, and this is hard, especially for men, you are not trolls. You're not. When did the storm stop? When they woke up. When they called on the name of the Lord. Christians, when you're going through storms, it should draw you closer to the Lord. But sometimes it repels. I'm sorry to say. I've given up on arguing for over once. Here's what Jesus said. Many are called. Few are chosen. Jesus said there's people that will start following joy. But when tribulation or persecution comes, they're offended. They walk away. Race hard. I don't like trials. But I am learning to be thankful. It's kept me in line with my Lord. And it has made a better person. You might argue that point, but it has made a better person out of it. Trials I go for. It wasn't until his church called on the Lord that things. I've been praying for revival in the church for 14. I've been seeing 14 men opposed. Doesn't provide. Scary. When God get a hold of the truth of God for Jesus said the gate of hell will not prevail. That means we're to be kicking the gates of hell in, sir. Sometimes we treat those gates like an offensive weapon. We got the doors closed and the devil's beating us with the gates of hell. And, you know, the Lord said it wouldn't prevail over us, but gates defenses. Jesus is talking about his people being on the attack. When's the last time you witnessed somebody? About the love of Christ. I'm not talking about a fellow church member. When you pray, do you expect God to answer your prayer? I do. Now, he's answered it in ways before that I didn't care for. It's like, that's not what I asked for. God, I never promised you everything you wanted, but I'll give you what you need. We need to learn to do that with our kids. Bless the little darling's heart. They think the whole world revolves around them. They deserve everything they ask. I was in Walmart the other day, and some girl got mad at her mom and screamed at the top of her voice. I wanted to go out and cut a switch off one of them trees I had planted in there and hand it to mom and say, here, the ladies room's right back here. But, you know, I got to thinking, how many times have I acted like that with the board? Just fall and squall and stomp my feet, and that's not what I want. This, if I could just have this, I'd be happy. God said, no, if you had that, it'd be a temptation. You don't need it. Do you believe that the Lord can get you through any storm in your life? Some of you do, yeah. And He can. But it won't happen to you with unquenched control to stop trying to control. I worked in a feed company and they had a bobcat. I never did get to drive it. I don't know why. They wouldn't let me drive. I could drive forklift, but they wouldn't let me drive. And I wanted to drive it and mix feed. But then bobcats control with these levers. And I'll never forget the guy that operated it said, if they ever let you drive this, he said, let me tell you something. These things get squirrely. And you try to overcompensate. He said, the best thing to do when you get out of control is let go of the levers. He said, those levers will pop back into neutral and will stop. That made no sense to me at all. What? If this thing takes off, I'm supposed to let go of the levers? Yeah. He said, it'll stop the progress. Won't get hurt. But let go? I'm not a let goer. I'm a controller. I'll figure this out eventually. That's the way we are, aren't we? Well, Lord, if you're not going to do something, I will. So go ahead. Let's see how that turns. I learned several years ago. Like I said, I am completely derived. I'm not perfect in this area, but I have learned that I can't be in control. You're a lot better off to let Jesus Christ and with you. Once they turned it over to the Lord, they made it where they were going. Maybe you're going through trials, storms in your own life, and faith doesn't make sense. I want to encourage you. Peter said, cast all your anxiety on the Lord. God knows we get anxious. God knows we get stressed out. Peter said, cast it on the Lord. Doesn't care. Can't be in control. Church can't. If you're having issues you'd like the elders to pray with you, glad to do it. Come up here and sit on the front row. Or get with me after church if there's something you want to pray. But we're to pray for one. If you're here this morning and you've never decided you wanted to follow Christ, it's a good day. Day of salvation. Come up here and we'll talk with you, pray with you. We won't bear it. Time has been taken.
Change my heart, oh God, does it ever hurt you? Change my heart, oh God, let I be like you. Change my heart, oh God, does it ever hurt you? Thank you.
crane over the trailer back and forth. Lift up the bear's spear. They don't know how long this bear's got. And the family's really stressed. The other day, one of the family called me, crazy. That's what I also understand Donna Cade is much yard. I haven't heard why, but she lives with her in the family. So. Any other prayer requests come to the body? I think God has prayer.
That's good. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the day that you've given us to be in your house, Father, to worship you, to honor you in song and in prayer and in praise, Father, and in words, to listen to you, speak to us, Father. Help us to hear what you have to say. Help us, Father, to take it into our hearts. Father, help us to have the faith that we need in you, to be faithful. Help us, Father, to trust and to step outside our comfort zones so that we can seek out the other people who need you, Father, who haven't heard about you, but don't know you like we know you, Father. And I just pray, Father, for those people, and I pray for your blessings for each of us this day. I pray for those who are sick, Father. I think especially the Pharisees, and I pray that you would bless them. Bless the family, Father. Help them to draw near to you. And, Father, I just pray for those others who are ill, and I pray for Donna, for whatever the circumstances. I ask that you bless her and watch over her. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
We can get starry-eyed together.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust.